Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. And show the world your heart. Express yourself in art. And show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, our weekly program covering arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, regional art patron Mary Levan, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Thank you for your generous support. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, and Tom Maloney, vice president of radio operations at Lakeshore Public Radio. Art on the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com or through our Facebook page. Art on the Air is always looking for financial support. We'd like to thank our current supporters. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, Esther and I especially would invite you to become an underwriter of this program in particular. We have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA. You can find out support information there. So don't just be an Art on the Air listener. Become a supporter or underwriter in whatever amount you're able to do so we continue to bring you this great content and this great local programming. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. And we'd like to welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight someone who's been with us several times before, the executive director of the Art Barn, Amy Navradakis.
Hi.
Well, tell us a little bit about what's going on at the Art Barn with everything in this new year.
Oh, well, you know, everything is new. You know, we have our new normal.
As everyone. So
yeah, but you have a lot of exciting things coming up.
Yeah, we do. We do. We are working on our new spring education programs. And so we've got some kind of new things with that I'm pretty excited about. So
yeah, talk about it.
Sure, tell us about that.
Is the gift gallery still, how long will the gifts be in the gallery?
The gift gallery is up until, I believe, the 7th of January. I think 8th is the day the artists come to pick up their work. So it'll be up and into the new year just a little bit. And then we have a new exhibition that's going to be going up, which is student work. So we're pretty excited about adult student work. So we haven't done that in a little while. So.
And then I know that you have a very exciting virtual workshop coming up.
So. We do. A little bit of a backstory with the workshop is the artist that we're doing this with is, her name is Pat Dews, and she is a nationally known artist. And she was going to be coming to Art Barn, and you know, we just couldn't get it worked out this year. It just wasn't safe for her to travel up from Florida, and so we were like, well, how are we going to make this work together? And so she had done a virtual workshop with the Georgia Watercolor Society, and it went really well. She had like 72 people on this Zoom workshop, and so it went super great, and people really enjoyed it. And it was streamed through another virtual location. And so I thought, well, you know, we would love to do that from our, you know, through Art Barn. and offer that to our people. So that's what we're doing. So if we can't have her here in person, we want to at least be able to offer it virtually.
So when will that be happening?
So it's happening January 14th, 15th, and 16th. So it's one of our guest artist workshops. So we consider Pat a guest artist because she's not normally someone who would teach for us. And it's kind of an intensive workshop. So it's going to be for three solid hours each day. It just gives us, kind of that intensive work environment so that you can learn from her and be able to kind of interact with other people in the workshop. It's going to be a follow-up workshop in March.
So if people want to visit the Art Barn, do you have any requirements that they follow under the COVID restrictions?
Yeah, people are coming here in person, which we are going to be having some in-person classes. The restrictions, of course, include wearing a mask. We do have social distancing. If people are coming in to attend a class, we have tables marked so that people are, kind of sitting at X's at the tables so that they're socially distanced. And, people are kind of keeping their distance when they're in this, shopping the holiday gift gallery. So people are, pretty good about keeping apart. So we're, kind of trying to limit the numbers of people that are here at any time. So that's what we're doing. And we're cleaning all the time.
I bet.
Trying to keep it clean.
Are you looking for, are you still planning your summer festival event? Art Blitz.
Yeah. I'm hoping by the third weekend in September that things are going to be well enough for us to be able to have our festival.
That usually runs 2 days, right?
Yeah. It's a Saturday, and it's Saturday and Sunday on the third weekend of September.
Okay.
So that's called Art Blitz.
Art Blitz.
Looking forward to doing that again.
What other exhibits you have coming up in the new year?
So we've got, as I kind of shortly mentioned, we're going to have an exhibition of work done by our students. So it kind of gives them an opportunity to kind of show off the things that they've done in the classes here over the last couple of years. So that's going to be all adult work as well as children's work. And that'll be going on for a few months during mid-January through March. And then we're going to have kind of a faculty show. So our instructors are going to be showing off their work, through the rest of the spring. I'm sorry, I'm spacing out the dates, but
is that the first time that's happening where the instructors are having a show?
It's the first time since I've been here that we're doing it. I don't know if it's probably been done in the history here, but it's the first time since I've been here that we've done it. And we think it's a great way for instructors to be able to kind of show off their work. Cause a lot of times, they're teaching, and their students have no idea like what kind of work that they're actually doing. I've never even kind of seen some of the work of some of the instructors. So it's a great opportunity to know what the kind of work that the instructors are working on, on a regular basis. So.
Well, before we end here, we want you to tell us how you can get in touch, where the Art Barn is and how you get in touch with it and websites and everything.
So we're about 2 miles outside of Valpo at 695 North 400 East. And you can find us, the best way to contact us is through our website at artbarnschool.org.
And we'd like to thank Amy Navradakis for coming here from the Art Barn. Thanks so much for being on Art on the Air. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. We'd like to welcome to Art on the Air, known for 2 decades of being part of Blame Sally, Bay Area folk pop singer Monica Pasquale. She eclipses all of her previous recorded work with her new album, You Can't Kill Light, and so we're really pleased to have her to be on Art on the Air. Monica, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure.
Aloha.
Well, we first like to get your origin story, how you got from where you were to where you are now, and how you grew up and everything like that.
Okay. Well, that's a long story, but I happen to be right now staying in the same house that I was born in, in my mother's house. I've been here for the last 9 months, and I'm sitting right near the piano that was always here, a beautiful grand piano that first my father played, and he was a quite accomplished classical pianist. And I would say music started for me crawling underneath the piano to listen to him playing Mozart and Bach. And I used to play with the pedals. I really loved to hit the damper pedal and just hear all the chaotic swirling of sound. And I started playing piano before I could read. I started reading music before I could read words. And I just was completely drawn to the piano. That was my thing. I didn't really sing. I didn't write songs. I wrote music and I wrote poetry, but they were totally separate things when I was growing up. And I thought I was going to be a classical concert pianist. And I pursued that dream for quite a while, up until I went into college as a piano performance major. And I was getting sick. They didn't know what I had. Later it was diagnosed, but I was in so much physical pain and exhaustion that I was sleeping sometimes 16, 17 hours a day, and I just couldn't keep going. So I did quit playing piano. And it was pretty devastating at the time. It had been the dream. But a few years later, I came back and started writing songs. And I was still undiagnosed. It wasn't until like 20 years later I was diagnosed with celiac disease, which was simply I had to stop eating wheat gluten in order to start feeling better. But I could manage to write songs, and I had a band, and it just seemed to me that that was much more where I was supposed to be. Although I had loved classical piano, the competitions and everything had started to really terrify me. And I don't think I ever would have been a great concert pianist. But once I started writing songs, it was like I found myself. And
so, yeah. No, I was wondering, you had mentioned that like in your schooling, in your early schooling, you wrote poetry. And do you find that very different from songwriting? And you said at that point you didn't sing. So I'm so curious as to when you started to add your voice to the mix.
No, I don't find it incredibly different from songwriting. Both writing music and writing poetry came quite naturally to me. I just didn't think to put them together. And I guess it's because I wasn't singing. I thought that my voice was just a little voice like this. I sang in choirs and I sang second soprano, but I didn't have any power in my voice. I started to write songs and I was collaborating with a singer. And I had entered a song competition, a live competition, where if you won, you got 4 hours of free recording studio. So I was like, great, I'm going to go to this thing. I'd been writing songs for about 2 months. I'm going to go and I'm going to win this thing. And my singer suddenly couldn't show up. And so there I was. I got up on stage and I sang my little song in my little voice. And one of the judges was a vocal coach, and she came up to me afterwards and she said, "You're singing all wrong. You're not using your real voice. I can tell from the way you talk where you're supposed to be singing. Come take some lessons." And literally in one or two lessons, I was using the part of the voice that I currently use. Only recently, in this last album, I started using a lot of my falsetto again. So I've been, pushing it a little bit and not being as self-conscious about the smallness of that part of my voice. So
yeah, You Can't Kill Life is a beautiful, beautiful album.
Oh, thank you so much.
Tell us a little bit.
I mean, you wouldn't like you did do a concept album, which you won a lot of awards for. Lots of IMAs, I think, right? And but this one's not really a concept album yet. It holds together. I mean, it is a complete unit. I've listened to it several times.
So much. If the concept of it, if you're at all interested.
Yes.
That I simply had decided to go weekly and work with my friend BZ Lewis and do whatever I wanted. You know, I was just like, oh, maybe I want to do kind of a dancey type thing or whatever I wanted. And I was going to release each song individually. And I did a little bit on Patreon. But at some point, I just realized like, oh, I think there is an album here. You know, I put it together and saw where there were a couple of holes and figured it out. And that was the concept of that album.
And I think it's great to do what you want to do. I mean, like just to have that freedom to, to explore.
You know, before we get to your current album, like we're talking about, tell us a little bit about Blame Sally, what you're involved with for like 2 decades of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, cut back to in the early mid 90s. I started a band called Monica Pascual on the Planet Ranch, and we recorded one album and then we broke up as bands do. And then I recorded a second solo album called Sweet Remains that I was my first collaboration with BZ Lewis, who I recorded all my subsequent Monica Pascual albums with him as the engineer and co-producer. And after I recorded Sweet Remains, I think I just, it was a beautiful album. It got a lot of attention, but I just couldn't break into the scene of being, a musical star, which in a way you had to be back in the 90s. There really were a lot more gates at that point that would keep people out. And I just was not one of those people who was going to get a big record deal, I guess. And I knew this group of women who were sort of in the same position. We were all in our 30s and we'd all attempted to have our own careers. And one day I was like, I had a new album that I'd recorded very casually. And decided I wanted to do a CD release party. And I asked the three other women who are in Blame Sally, who are my friends, if they would back my concert with me. We started to get together once or twice a week. And we were just having so much fun that after the CD release party was over, we said, let's do this. Let's just, you know, and here are the rules. Everybody's in it 100%. You know, we're in it as equal partners, basically. Nobody has to do all the work. Nobody's fronting all the money. It's a true collaboration. And it has to be fun. We're just going to, you know, we're not going to like kill ourselves. This is, so we started to do, you know, some local shows. And of course, our first show, I mean, just was a complete hit. And that band really did kind of take off. We quite quickly started to get great gigs and started touring a few years later. We ended up signing a huge record deal with a company out of Berkeley that we were their first band, and it was just an incredibly generous situation that allowed us to be, we were all salaried and we were, all our touring was backed by them and, all expenses paid basically for 5 years. They had a lot of hedge fund money and they put it behind us. So that was just kind of an amazing experience for women who were already, you know, we were late 30s, 40s. We were already, you know, we were mid 40s, you know, we were not youngsters at all. And that was when we started to have the experience of touring, and we got to tour Germany several times and Italy and the UK as well as the US. So, we recorded 8 albums and we still play together. but we decided to stop touring as a band in 2013 or 14.
Excellent. And
any future albums with Blame Sally, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think we probably will, just because we kind of can't help it.
Well, your current album, we'd like to give our audience a listen to. Tell us, first of all, about the first one of the songs we wanted to listen to is If You Ask. Set that up for us, and we'll take a listen to that.
So I wrote that song actually while I was touring with Blame Sally. And honestly, in the last two or three years of touring, we were out so much that I was having a hard time writing at all. And that, so that was one of the few songs that I wrote in, I think, around 2012 or 2013. And, you know, it is about touring, that song, actually. It is about the kind of, you know, that feeling that you just give and give, but it's never going to be enough. And there's always going to be somebody younger, prettier, more hip, whatever, who's coming up behind you. And, you know, that's the place that song came from.
Well, let's take a listen to that. It's from the album You Can't Kill Light, If You Ask, Monica Pasquale.
I've been washed, I've been shined, paraded for another dime. Sometimes it's good, but it don't feel like love. Every night, a different town. I close my eyes, I turn around, give it all, but still it's not enough. But if you ask, I will, I will, I will. Give you more, I'll fill, fill, I'll fill you up until it kills me. If you ask, I will. Oh, 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 I will. Once I thought the whole wide world a mystery that would unfurl. All I had to do was be myself. Now my world's another floor, another key, another door, another room, another empty shelf. But if you ask, I will, I will, I will. I'll give you more, I'll fill, fill, I'll fill you. Up until it kills me. If you ask, I will. Oh, 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 I will. Myself, I hurt my friends, I build it up, but it's just bones and wood. Another night, another stage, another crowd. I feel my age, and I could be replaced. You know I could. But if you ask, I will, I will, I will. I'll give you more. I'll fill you up until it kills me. If you ask, I will. Oh, 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 I will.
And that was If You Ask from You Can't Kill Light, Monica Pasquale. Beautiful song. So that was great.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit more about your collaborations with some people that we had on the show, Josh McLean and Rosario Sammartino. We've had them on.
And Velvy.
In fact, his interview will be running on the That's right. December 11th and December 13th here.
Oh, wonderful. That'll be my birthday.
Well, there you go. Well, we can have a celebration for your birthday. So anyway, tell us about your collaborations with them.
Yeah. So, well, I'll talk about Josh first. Josh and I had both Blame Sally and Josh had both performed at a venue. And I'm, you know, I don't know if you know David Fink, but I forget the name of his.
The Acorn Theater.
Yeah. Acorn, thank you. I know it so well. And I think we had a lot of fun at that theater. Blame Sally, I think, played there three or four times. And Josh had also performed there quite a few times. And one day I got an email from David. He sent it to all the Sallies, as we call ourselves, and telling us that this young musician was coming to the Bay Area and we should check him out. And it's not something that I normally follow through, like, oh, yeah, whatever. But I went to his website in that moment before I forgot and listened. And I loved it. I just really fell in love with what he was doing. And I had a solo gig coming up. And so I just emailed him and I said, hey, do you want to play with me at this gig? And it was in 2 days. And he said, sure. So we made the appointment. He came the next day. We had a rehearsal. And it was so easy to play together. And I think partly we both come from a background of classical music and bringing that into the more popular forms. We just understood each other musically very easily. And the first, you know, we played together for a couple of hours and then did a gig together, and it was so easy.
Yeah, he's magic.
Yeah, and he's doing these online concerts right now. So tell us about Velvie and how you guys got involved.
So Velvie contacted me asking about a particular producer that I had worked with. Asking, you know, how the experience was. And and I remember it was in the winter, and I was taking a train from Oakland to Salt Lake City, and I listened to some of the songs that he was recording. And so I wrote back to him and I said, you know, I told him, well, that producer's great and stuff, but hey, maybe you want to work with me. I'd love to produce your album. And he came back and said, yeah, let's do it. And so that's how we met. I produced his Spark and Whisper album, the second to last one, Ghost Towns. And then we started playing shortly after. He said he was interested in playing in the Handsome Brunettes. And so that's how that is. And we're just really good friends. I love Velvie. He's just such a great guy. And he's such an interesting musician, such an interesting guitar player, and a really good songwriter. And he's very... I've always told him he reminds me of one of my partners in Blame Sally, Renee. Both of them come at rehearsals and come at arrangements in a really thoughtful, intellectual way, like really have lots of ideas and push things, and which is great for me because I sometimes want to just wing it. And it's good to be challenged and pushed into like, hey, let's make this better. Let's do this. And so Velvie is that kind of musician.
Yeah, he's just so creative in so many different ways. I mean,
he is.
Oozes. Like his photography is so gorgeous.
Yep. And he's funny as hell.
Yeah, we so enjoy talking with him.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And so one of my favorite songs on You Can't Kill Light is Little Duck. It just wraps around me. And then when you came out with the visuals with it, the video, it was even more captivating. I mean, so can you tell us about that one? I mean, just the first, I am the wave, I am the rock. I mean, it's just like, how can you not be drawn in by that?
So that song was what brought me back to writing. I'd mentioned that while I was touring with Blame Sally, it had gotten really hard to write after a while. I was just burned out and tired. And when we stopped touring, I found like, wow, I'm still not writing. And so I had heard about this woman who was teaching a class called Wild Writing, and a lot of friends had taken it. And I decided to go take this class. And in that class, she reads a poem, and then you write as quickly as you can to that poem. Just you're not trying to like write a poem, and you're not trying to write about the poem. You're just responding. And at the time, and the poem that she read was called The Little Duck. And at the time, I was still with my partner of many years, who had become sick with multiple sclerosis and was having a lot of mental decline, a lot of cognitive decline. And it was such a difficult situation because I loved him so much, and yet my life was being completely overwhelmed by needing to take care of him and my own struggles. And that song was about him, really, because he was so innocent in a way. He couldn't even, he had become so childlike that he couldn't really understand how difficult the situation was for me, how much pain I was in. So when I heard that poem, I thought of him, like he is a little duck, you know, and it flowed from there. So.
Well, let's take a listen to it. Little Duck on the You Can't Kill Light album.
I am the wave, I'm the rock, I'm the rolling, I'm the dark, I'm the deep, I'm the blue. I am the cloud in the storm, I'm the pouring rain, but I'm holding a line out to you. You are the sail, you're the fish, you're the little duck with an eye to the bow and the stern. Wink and a prayer, make a wish, and with a little luck you'll ride the next twist, the next turn, the next turn, the next turn. You're the float, you're the little duck. Can you live with the ebb and the flow? In the ebb and the flow.
And that was Monica Pasquale on her album, You Can't Kill Light, Little Duck. Very good.
Oh, I know. I love the song. And now hearing the origin of it, it's even more moving. I've been following kind of the memoir, I guess, or the story of you and Tom that you've been writing. And so I think it's a beautiful legacy that you're creating. And at what point are you with that? I mean, where are you in the story?
Well, you know, I kind of stopped for a while. So I tend to be creatively, I kind of will like throw myself into something for a while. And then, you know, but I would say, if you're asking where I am in the story, the true story of Tom and I, Tom, at this point, he is in an assisted living in a long-term care facility in Maine near where his brother lives. And he's doing okay. One blessing is he remembers people. And so he remembers connections to people. And he had many, many, many people in his life. But he can't really remember. He has no short-term memory anymore. So it's really kind of sad. But we talk usually once a day for a little while, short conversations, because there's not very much to say.
Right.
And it's still incredibly painful. I mean, this was somebody who was the most brilliant person I'd ever met. I mean, just so full of life, and just he had the kind of mind. I always kind of compared it to like Robin Williams, that kind of like where he would jump, his mind would jump around and make all these really amazing free associations that nobody else would think of. And you just, I was always trying to catch up with him, you know? So
how inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, more than half of our relationship actually was him in a decline, you know, so that was hard too. And yeah. So
have there been many songs that really are based on Tom, or was Little
Duck?
Yeah.
Many songs, on that album, what's it called? I'm gonna ride it as it comes, gonna stop it when I have to. I can't remember the name of my own song. But you know, there, a lot of the songs are definitely inspired by Tom and all my albums since I met him. The first song I wrote when I met him was called Heaven and Hell, and that pretty much that pretty much set it up.
Well, tell us about Feels Like Something, because we want to hear another piece off your album. So tell us a little bit about that, and we'll listen to it.
Feels Like Something. So I started dating, you know, as a woman in my 50s, I started dating and did online dating, which I'd never experienced anything like that. You know, when you were younger, you kind of meet somebody at a party or something, and then you find out, you know, you're with them for 17 years. That's kind of was my, you know, that's how it had happened before. And then suddenly I was, you know, going on dates, and like this whole world of, you know, ascertaining, was this, what is it about this? Do I like this or do I not like this? And is this good enough or is that? And, you know, just, it's sort of like it's like shoe shopping or something, you know, and we all do it, you know, whichever side you're on, you're sometimes the shoe and sometimes they're the shoe, but you know, everybody's shopping. And, that song was really inspired by that kind of like, oh, I think there's a spark. Maybe not. Didn't quite happen.
Well, let's take a listen to It Feels Like Something, Monica Pasquale from You Can't Kill Light.
I'm standing here, I'm looking that way. A road runs between. You know what I mean. From over there you come. in your cap and your jeans. You know what I mean. For a moment it feels like something, but we keep on walking. Seems like these times were not made for love, more like a spark to burn up the dark. And we tell ourselves it's good to be free, so we cage up the heart like a separate. For a moment it feels like something, but we keep on
feels like something, and that's on the You Can't Kill Light album, Monica Pasquale. Very, very good.
I know. I feel like I'm just going to say the same about all of them. I just love your music so much. Thank you so much for
It's on my iPod, so. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And so I adore your mother's art, and the fact that you and your sister and your mother are collaborating on bringing her art to the forefront is so beautiful. Can you talk a little bit about that experience, like working as a family?
Yeah. So my mom, who is from Spain, she started painting and sculpting when I was a teenager. She was in her 40s. And so she kind of started late. She had always been very creative, but she didn't really dedicate herself to art until her middle age. And she's had in Utah a pretty spectacular career. She's very well known here. A few years ago, she was also knighted by the King of Spain for her contributions to art in the Americas, bringing the Spanish culture to the Americas. And, but I've always thought, like, wow, you know, a lot of people, there's so much incredible art. Her house is also, is like a museum. And around the world, most people will never see it, you know, and most people can't afford to buy big original pieces, but it's so colorful and exciting. And here I've been since the beginning of COVID. I've been staying with her, and I just thought, let's start a store. Let's start creating some products. And I've been learning a lot of how to do a lot of things online. And my sister who lives in Spain, has been, and is also incredibly creative and artistic, but she's been in merchandising ever since she was a teenager. She was working in really beautiful stores in the US and in Spain too. And so we've been pooling our knowledge, and we've got this great website called Pilar's Garden, where we're selling all sorts of fun things.
Are you going to add your things to that as well? And your sister does those incredible miniatures.
You're very well studied, I have to say.
we are. Well, I love art. I mean, I love art. And
Yeah, I think we are. We're going to, like, I think eventually the idea is to see how we can, you know, make it very inclusive of my music and Maggie's art as well. And so it's very nascent period right now. We just launched in November. And so we're trying to get through the Christmas season. We've been selling quite a bit. And, you know, but it's a very homemade, very family thing. We're winging it, actually.
That's beautiful. So now we would really like to hear a little bit about the title track to your CD, You Can't Kill Light. Can you give us a little insight on that one?
Well, let's go back to 2016 and November of 2016, 2 days after the election, which was incredibly devastating, my mom had a stroke that was completely directly related to that. She grew up in Spain under Franco, and she had no illusions about what the Trump presidency meant. And she had hit her head like a month or month and a half before, and not realized that she had a little slow bleed in there. But right when during the election, her blood pressure went really high and caused the bleed to just, you know, it was bad. So she nearly died. And I came to be with her then too. And I mean, we were just, it was just such a hard time. I mean, little did we know how bad it was going to get, but it was crazy. And I was totally bummed out. But exactly a week before the inauguration, this song came out. It was one of those songs that just it's written in an hour. Literally, I wrote it. I had a session the next day in the studio. I was going to be recording another song. And instead I went in and said, can we record this song? And Beezy and I did the whole song in one day. The next day we mixed and mastered it. And then I got Josh to come in and help me make a video, because I really didn't know anything about doing that. So I found all these really cool archival pictures and kind of had them in sections. And Josh came in, put it together. And on the day of the inauguration, we released the video on Facebook. And it was kind of, you know, an answer of hope.
Well, let's take a listen to You Can't Kill Light, the title track from the album, Monica Pasquale.
We built a fire. The fire burns bright. You can blow hard, but you can't kill light. We come together. Sometimes we fight. You can knock us down, but you can't kill light. You can't kill light. You can't kill light. we build a railroad out of the past. We nail down every time and we won't go back. High in your tower of steel and glass, you can sign the order, but we won't go back, we won't go back. We won't go back, we won't go back. We won't go back. We built this house that we could share.
That's Monica Pasquale, You Can't Kill Light, the title track from the album. Monica, that's absolutely wonderful. Can you tell us how people can find your music and videos and everything like that, your websites and other contacts?
Yeah, absolutely. So for my music, MonicaPasquale.com. It's P-A-S-Q-U-A-L, MonicaPasquale.com. I also have a Bandcamp page. My videos, most of them are on my website, but you can also find me on YouTube, as well as Blame Sally. And Blame Sally, we had a PBS show. Actually, we're an hour-long feature on PBS. You can still find us there. Just go to pbs.org and search Blame Sally's concert, and you'll find us. And for the new website that I'm doing with my sister on my of my mom's work, it's pilarsgarden.com, P-I-L-A-R-S garden.com.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. Monica Pasquale, a great vocalist, Blame Sally, but her current album is You Can't Kill Light. You know, Monica, thank you so much for coming on Art in the Air and sharing your whole stories with us.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests this week. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP Station Manager, and Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio. Underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments, and Mary LeVan, arts patron. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. Or contact us through our Facebook page. Art in the Air streams live at WVLP.org and is rebroadcast on Monday at 5 p.m., plus is also heard on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m., also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art in the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.